The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
We should be, if things were normal, be looking forward to a Champions League evening if you were sitting at home watching on Virgin Media Sport. But fear not, in the meantime, over the next few weeks, we are going to bring you our Champions League Best Moment series with thanks to the good people at Virgin Media Sport, hashtag WeFreeSport. And tonight, we are going to rewind to the 04-05 season. And this is an unforgettable moment and an unforgettable night at Anfield.
This looks tailor-made for Rivaldo's Brazilian brilliance to give Olympiacos a real look at a first goal ever in England. They've got it. You didn't have to be the greatest expert in the world to highlight the threat. Liverpool 0, Olympiacos 1. Kiel coming from the left with the change. And Cinema Kong goal has made an immediate impact. Inside 2 minutes from being sent off. New hope for Liverpool. Penalty claim. Nunez. And in from Mella. He's only been on the pitch a matter of moments. But Neil Mella brings Liverpool even closer to an extraordinary red revival here.
Well, this is an extraordinary turn of events.
10 minutes.
They said it might be a special Liverpool night. We've got 10 minutes to show as it is.
It's Carragher trying to stay cool. Mella, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, you're beauty! What a head, son! What a head! Well, you take a tap in these circumstances. What you have seen is a Champions League strike as good as anything the competition has produced in this and many a season. With one swing of his gifted right foot, Steven Gerrard says, Champions League knockout stage, here we come.
Yeah, pretty remarkable stuff, and delighted to say we're joined by a man who scored that night, who also was behind that fantastic cushioned header, probably one of the more underrated headers you'll see because of what Steven Gerrard did straight away afterwards. Neil Mellor, live on the line, good evening to you.
What a great night that was, yeah. Nice to be part of it.
I'm sure it was. Is that kind of the peak moment in terms of your experiences on the pitch, in terms of atmosphere, in terms of contribution? It's kind of hard to beat that, I suspect.
Yeah, I think more so because what we went on to achieve that year, obviously we won the Champions League. That was still the group stage. That was match day 6. In terms of my career, I was injured after that game. The atmosphere was the best that I ever experienced on the pitch. It was just quite unbelievable. We attacked the Kop in the second half, and there's a genuine belief that the fans were helping us to attack that night, and obviously the night will be remembered for many years to come.
You're a young kid on the scene at that stage, making your way with Liverpool. People remember your big goals that year. You know, the Arsenal one jumps to mind. I might ask you about that later on. But on that night, 1-0 down at halftime, Rivaldo, of all people, scored a free kick. And I think at halftime, word has pretty much got through to the dressing room that you need to go out and you need to score goals as a team. Can you remember that halftime? You were a sub at that stage.
Yeah, I do. I remember the other game. It was Monaco and Deportivo, and I'm pretty sure Monaco were away. And we did. We got wind of the result. I think it was 3-0 at half time to Monaco. So we knew exactly what we had to do. We'd been beaten in Olympiacos away earlier on in the group 1-0. So we knew they were actually top of the group, Olympiacos, going into match day 6. We knew we had to score 3 goals in that second half. And I won't forget the half time team talk. Rafa Benitez was the manager. He did all his tactical stuff, letting us know what we needed to do. And I just remember Jamie Carragher being one out of everybody else in that dressing room, being really vocal, really motivating us, saying, come on, lads, we can do it. I didn't take my eyes off Rafa Benitez the entire 15 minutes at halftime in that dressing room because, like you say, I was on the bench desperate to get on. We need goals. I'm somebody who I thought could get on and score a goal. So I'm looking at him. I'm jogging on the spot thinking he's going to look at me. He's going to bring me on. But last minute, just before we're about to go out, he goes, bang, Cinema Pong goals coming on instead. Devastated. I was absolutely devastated that he didn't bring me on at half time.
You, I mean, no offence to either player, you would have had more of a reputation as a goal scorer, I think. Although, I mean, it proved to be a good substitution in the end.
Yeah, it did. Well, I was warming up the touchline at Anfield, and pretty much soon after he'd come on goal, he scored. And I'm thinking, what a genius Benitez is bringing him on instead of me. And we're back into the game, and all of a sudden the momentum was very much with us. But for that entire second half, I'm running up and down, I'm looking at Rafa, the manager, thinking, we're not going to score here, get me on. And it wasn't until, I don't know, 75, 76, something like that, when eventually he did put me on.
You do score your goal, and in some respects, it's the header, though, which lives on. I mean, it was a really fantastic header. It was not as obvious when I looked back at it today. Because you just remember it as a header down to Gerrard, but it was not as obvious a header as I just had remembered it in my head. You had quite a few options when that ball came to you, and Gerrard was coming from deep. So, I mean, it was you really picked him out well. Were you totally in control of what you were doing and hoping to do with the ball at that stage?
I've got to say, I've seen Martin Tyler, who's the commentator, since, and I've thanked him because the commentary certainly helps me, the way he describes it, a lovely cushioned header. What happened was the ball came up to me. I don't know what Jamie Carragher was doing on that left wing, but that's where he was. Carragher was on the left wing. He dinks it in towards me. I'm on the edge of the penalty area, and I've got a few options in my head. Do I control it? Maybe try and turn the defender, try and get a shot away myself. Do I flick it on? Maybe somebody running in behind. Or do I lay it off onto the edge of the penalty area? I can only see two players when I look. I can see John Arnarisa, who's the left fullback, and I'm thinking, if I lay it into his path, that's going to be his right foot. So I'm thinking, one in about 500 are going to hit the target for him on his right foot, Risa. Not a good option. Stephen Gerrard's the other one, a little bit deeper, but I fancy the skipper hitting the target from there rather than John Arnarisa. So just put it into an area, and obviously Stevie hit an unbelievable goal. When he scores, if you look at it again, he scores, and it's a great moment. I stand there on the edge of the penalty area thinking, celebrate with me. Please celebrate with me. And he just barges past me, wins me as he pushes past me, Stephen Gerrard, and heads to the corner of the cop. And I'm about eighth or ninth person there to celebrate. But it was a great moment for us to celebrate.
Because if he celebrates with you, you're getting all the pictures the next day in the paper.
Yeah, but we were there to the area. We wanted to get to the cop and celebrate, and that's what we did. That was the right option.
So, like, everybody knows how that season transpires. It's just miraculous, amazing in so many different ways, and not least the final, obviously. Is it around March time that you succumb to injury? I think you need surgery, and that puts paid to your contribution on the field anyway?
I was managing the injury throughout the season. I broke down in pre-season with the injury, and unfortunately, we had a few injuries to centre forwards during that period. And the manager said, "Listen, what can you do? Can you get yourself out there?" So I took injections. So even that game against Olympiacos, I was taking painkilling injections just to get out there. After the game, I could barely get in and out of my car, walking up and down stairs. That was a big problem for me, and it persisted and persisted to the point where it was in the January we played Watford in the League Cup semi-final, and I was poor. I was really struggling. I was poor. The manager brought me off at half-time, and he said, "That's not good enough." And I said, "Raf, I'm really struggling with this injury. Can we get it sorted out?" So it took a few weeks eventually. I think it was maybe March, maybe February time, whenever it was. And that was a decision we had to make. I had to get it sorted out, and I knew the season would be over for me then.
What are your memories of the final in Istanbul? Where do you watch that game?
The 18 players who were part of the squad, they flew the day before, and we flew on the day of the game. And I remember getting to Liverpool Airport, Liverpool fans everywhere. It was brilliant, in the bars with the flags, singing songs. Obviously, we were part of the playing contingent, so we weren't allowed to drink. We got on a flight, got over to Turkey, made our way to the game. And when we're in the stand watching the game, what was it, 60-odd thousand fans that were inside Istanbul that night. At half-time, I was hurting. Obviously, we're losing 3-0, but these were my mates, not just teammates. They were my mates. I have breakfast with these lads most days of the week. I've trained with them. You know, I've had evening meals. I've shared rooms with a lot of them, really, really close. And to see my mates at half-time being embarrassed in probably the biggest game of certainly club football, that was quite hard to take. And so you're looking around thinking, just please, second half, let's just make a game of it. Let's try and get back into it. So we were in the stands, and obviously what happened that second half was, I watched it back with my 10-year-old boy the other day, and it's emotional still to look back now and think, I was inside that stadium, and the boys, did what they did. It was the greatest ever European Cup final. Absolutely brilliant.
And Neil, at full time, do you get down onto the pitch? Do you get a medal? How did the Champions League work at that stage?
Well, I'd had my operation by that point, so I was struggling to walk. But we were on sort of the upper tier of the stand, and I don't know what the official crowd was. It must have been 69,000, let's say. There would have been about 9,000 AC Milan, the rest Liverpool fans, nearly 60,000 Liverpool fans packed inside this stadium, all wanting to get on the pitch at the end of the game. I was one of about 10 players not involved in my Liverpool tracksuit, thinking, I want to get on the pitch. I want to say well done to my mates, my teammates who've just achieved this unbelievable cup success. So we managed to work our way down to the bottom of the stand, like I say, in our tracksuits. And there's stewards everywhere stopping us getting onto the pitch. And we try and get onto the pitch. This Turkish steward pretends he doesn't understand a word English. No, 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 you're not getting on. So one of the players who was involved with us, who was cup-tied, was Fernando Morientes. Now, Fernando had played in the Champions League for, I think, Real Madrid that season. So he was cup-tied. So he started talking to the steward. And the steward's sort of believing him, not really believing him. In the end, Morientes, he gets his passport out, says to the steward, there we go, there's proof. Fernando Morientes, I've scored in 2-3, whatever it is, Champions League finals. Next thing, the steward, who's been blanking us all, big hugs around Fernando Morientes. Oh, you're my hero. You can come onto the pitch, no problem. And fair play to Fernando Morientes. He made sure every one of us, there was about 10 in total, got onto the pitch as well so we could enjoy that moment with the rest of the team. So we got onto the pitch just before Steven Gerrard lifted the trophy on the podium, and I sneak on just back right, something like that, and join in the celebrations for an iconic moment.
I was watching, you did a great interview walking around Anfield on Redmen TV a while back, and well, long story short, but you're on a different flight home to the players who've togged out on the night, and I think everybody remembers the parade around Liverpool when the team got back. It was live on Sky News and everywhere else. And because your flight's slightly delayed and it's tough to get catch up with the actual team, I think in the end you are at Melwood, and you, kind of your only option that night is to hop in the car and go home.
We've just gone from a big high celebrating the Champions League to this story of such a low form. Yeah, it was heartbreaking form. We landed at Liverpool Airport. Again, it was only the players who played in the game the night before, the 18, who got changed. They flew in a separate flight with the press because they paid for the flight, and everybody else got on a separate flight. We landed at Liverpool before that flight, but for some reason there was a big delay in getting us from Liverpool Airport with the baggage back to Melwood. So the first team have landed half an hour after us. They managed to get to Melwood before us. There's a couple of big buses waiting to go. They're waiting to go. Steven Gerrard saying, no, we're not leaving till everybody arrives. The manager's saying, no, we're not leaving till everybody arrives. The police are saying, we've got a million people on the streets of Liverpool. We need to go. We need to go now. And so it was the police that had to decide. And obviously safety reasons came into it. So the buses left Melwood. We must have missed them by 15 minutes. We got back to Melwood thinking they've gone. No one told us. Now you've got your phones and it's easy to text on social media and everything. Phones were quite a new thing then. People didn't really use them as much as certainly they use them nowadays. So we're walking around Melwood thinking, what are we going to do? So we're saying, can we get on? Can we get on? The police said, no chance, not allowing you to get on at any point. So all I did was drive home, turned it on my TV when I got home. And as a, what was I then? 21, 22, whatever it was, just started crying my eyes out, watching my mates with a million people. I had friends and family on the route wanting to celebrate. So I missed out on that. That was a tough one to take.
Wow, that is a sickener, to say the least. It's extraordinary. Like, again, even the mobile phone thing, it's just a different world. So I know, like, the Liverpool career didn't go on too much long after that. I mean, football is ruthless. And Rafa, kind of a fascinating character, wasn't exactly a Jurgen Klopp give the players hug type, to say the least. How did you find Rafa? Was he encouraging to you as a youngster, or was he still pretty standoffish?
Liked Rafa, really liked him. Grateful that he gave me the moments, the game time that certainly I craved. Felt as though I didn't have that under Gerard Houllier. Rafa was brilliant tactically. Every day on the training pitch he would work tactically, so we gained an understanding of where we needed to be in and out of possession of the ball. That was something that was very new to us under Rafa. But he was cold. I mean, you look at Klopp nowadays and you're thinking, I would love a hug off Jurgen Klopp, love it. Whereas Rafa, when I scored the goal against Arsenal, for instance, a big moment for myself, all he did was he looked at me and he gave me a little thumbs up. That was it. There was no big hug or anything like that. That was his way of saying, well done. So that was as good as it got. But he was cold, he was ruthless, but he was also a very, very successful manager.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. I'm sure you've probably thought about it as well. I know, you know, you were in the city for a long time and you were a long time coming at youth football, youth level for Liverpool. You scored a ton of goals and forced your way into the side. And you do have the big moments, you know, that Olympiacos night, the Arsenal goal in particular, just by circumstance. I was watching it live. I remember it very well. And I forgot thousands of goals. You know, that's the thing. I've seen lots of great goals. Maybe it's because you're a young player and bursting on the scene and they're the invincibles, perhaps. It's more memorable. But there are probably players who've played 2, 3, 4 times the number of games you've played for Liverpool who are, by comparison, almost forgotten a little bit or not as readily associated with Liverpool. It's one of those kind of strange things. I don't know, has it struck you as well?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to say. I'd love to be sat here talking to you guys now saying, you know, I've played 400 or 500 games for Liverpool. I've won this, I've won that. I can't, but I did get to live that dream of coming through the youth system at Liverpool. So many players have tried to do it before me and not managed to break through. I've seen Liverpool buy a player for over £1 million in my position from West Ham, who was the same age, thinking he's going to be ahead of me in the pecking order. He never got a sniff in the first team. So when he eventually did break through and have those moments, it's great to look back on, and like you say, even now, what are we talking, 15 years on, whatever it is, people still remember where they were, perhaps in a pub, perhaps somewhere else in the world. And it's nice that there is that memory, there is that moment. I wasn't even fully fit for those games. I would love to have been fully fit, and who knows what might have been, but that was the way it was for me. And I'm just grateful to have had a few of those moments.
Yeah, I guess when you're carrying injury, you don't feel like you're giving your best account of yourself, which must be one of the big frustrations. You went on, obviously, and kept playing football, and you know, you've had a fine career. Better than 99.99% of us whoever think about playing football as kids. What's life now, Neil? We see you doing a bit of punditry and that seems to be going quite well. Is that the main thing that keeps you going now, or are you involved in the game at any level?
Yeah, I'm lucky because I am still very much involved by doing the media side of it. I finished playing at 29 and came as a bit of a shock to me. It was through injury, but it was at a time when I started to kick on a little bit in my career and felt as though I could perhaps play a little bit higher again. I was doing quite well. Injury stopped my career, and since then I've been doing a lot of media work. I work on Sky Sports, an iconic show over here, certainly in England, at Soccer Saturday with Jeff Stelling and the boys. I'm out at different games in the Championship mainly, and it's just nice to enjoy a game of football. Report on the game of football. Now, for me, I'm a big believer that football is about opinion. You could have a different opinion to me. You may see a goal slightly different to me, and that's all it is. So I enjoy reporting on the various games and still being involved in that. But also at Liverpool as well, I cover a lot of the youth games. Quite enjoy seeing which potential players could come through, maybe break through into Liverpool's first team. We've obviously seen young Trent just be outstanding. He's one that stands out in recent times. And also first team games, they do an analysis show with Liverpool TV. So it's really good to still be involved in that sense.
Good man. Well, listen, we're kicking off a series. These are strange times where we're getting people on who've done big things in the Champions League, because we don't have Champions League games to talk about. So we thought of you. It's 15 years on. It's still sort of stuck in the head. So thanks so much for doing that for us, and best of luck with things.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Cheers. That's Neil Mellor there. Live on the line. Great to have him on. And again, that is a new series we're going to kick off here in lieu of some Champions League games over the next couple of weeks. Our best moments series, all thanks to Virgin Media Sport, hashtag WeFreeSport. Don't forget, busy show on the way between 8 and 9, Ron Nogara and Brian O'Driscoll in conversation. And then on the football show, we'll pick things up with Match of the Day 2 presenter Mark Chapman. So that is all on the way.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.